Good morning, brothers. Scripture reading this morning is going to be taken from Genesis, the second chapter. I'll be reading verses 18 through 24. Genesis 2, 18 through 24. I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper, suitable for him." Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called the living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle, and to the birds of the sky, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man, and brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bone, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh."
That all. There's enough ball up here. Good to see everyone. We have enjoyed Bible study. We had some good classes. We've got a good audience. We do have visitors. We're thankful for your presence. I know some of you are here because you want to be close to your mother, and that's a good thing. We're here to worship God in spirit and truth, but I hope that today is a good day for you and that you remember your mother very well today. I'm going to break with tradition. I'm not usually the preacher that preaches about fathers on Father's Day, mothers on Mother's Day, but I'm going to break that, my personal tradition today, because I think as I get older, I guess we all think about some things, and perhaps the women that were in our life that have gone on to their reward, or maybe there are women that have been very influential in our lives that you don't get to see quite as often, but maybe it's just realizing the nature of life itself. And so I've been contemplating about maybe what to speak about today, being this nationally recognized holiday, but I just think sometimes it's important that we go back and think about some things and those that have affected our lives and influenced our lives. So this morning, I want to talk about maybe some reflection about that and maybe some admonition about that, because I think it's just one of the most important things that God did. God, of course, did exactly whatever he wanted to do, but he is the one, as Mickey read for us, he is the one that said that it is not good for man to be alone, and I want to make someone comparable to him. So much that we could talk about this morning in that phrase, but I am impressed with what God has done, and I'm grateful. I've benefited from God's wisdom and what God has done in the things that he has done and established really in Genesis, and in Genesis chapter 4, on your handout, verse 1, tells us that Eve became a mother. And so in the first chapter, a few chapters of the Bible, it helps us understand really the nature of who we are, the nature of why we are like we are. Eve sinned, her husband sinned, and there were curses that were placed upon man. There were curses that were placed upon Satan. Every woman who has had a child since the birth of Cain, that Eve had Cain, understands the curse of Eve. That there'll be pain in childbirth. 100 years ago, in the 80s, in the mid 80s, when Jacob was born, that was our first child. I don't know. Are you, April? What's your age though? You doing Lamar? You doing Lamar? Nobody's ever heard of Lamar, the hippie stuff back in the day. That you, it's all natural. All of our kids were naturally born. That worked, didn't it? But anyway, Mr. Lamar decided to get through all the pain. All you had to do was breathe and concentrate. And the coach was there, and I was the coach. It was our first kid, and I had this by the tail. And they hooked up the monitor. And every time that she would have a contraction, you can tell I never had one. The thing went up, the monitor went up in a peak, and then when it went back down, it was in the valley. Well, they told us in the class that when it's in the valley, that the deep cleansing breath, breathing, concentrate, and then you could see it building up, and you held her hand, and you kept touching, it's going to be all right, and it's going back down, and it's in the valley again, and it's time to rest. Well, when it was in the valley, she was going, and I thought, we're in the valley. You're not in pain, you're faking. She would kill me. That's what one of the times, never tell a woman in labor she's faking. She was in so much pain she couldn't strangle my neck. But anyway, I don't have long this morning to talk about the biblical concept of motherhood, but I want to say this. If God created woman and blessed her with so much ability and so much talent and so much influence, I believe that women certainly need to be praised. And of course, yesterday, but we think about women in the Bible, Sarah, we think about Rachel, Rebecca, Hannah, Elizabeth, Mary. We think of all of those women that had very high self-esteem, and we think about the influence that they had in the lives of others and the part that they played, the godly role that they played, and we see how they were such a part of so many things, and we're all thankful for that. And that's what's projected in Scripture. All of us this morning, because we have mothers, I think we all can understand that. We know that. We see that. And we can value who our mother is. Allow me to mention a quote this morning. And here it is. It says, "Your job is the only job I don't ever want." And I know that quote because I'm the one that said it. And I said it to Jean. And I said it as she raised our children, and as she was doing all the things that she was doing, and it exhausted me, and I didn't know how she did all the things that she did, how she accomplished all the things that she did. I know that my job is just called hard, but a lot of times, I'm so glad to drive away, being 12 hours, and it was amazing the things that she accomplished. And the things that she did. And I was really my question, how do you handle all those things? How did you do all of those things? Even in the process of raising the kids as she did. And I think it's hard for men to understand that. I know that it's hard for men to understand that. Because a lot of men are blockheaded and don't see and understand that. I don't know any place in the Bible that says it's hard for men to understand what women do. That's just a personal observation. I think from my personal standpoint, I just know that sometimes men don't get that or understand that. But let me give you another quote. "When you grow up, I pray that you have at least one kid as bad as you." That's from my mom to me. And she prayed pretty hard. Now, I look back in retrospect, though, and I think like most of us, we can look at our mothers and think, I'm grateful that I was blessed with a mother like that that gave me some insight. I'm blessed with a mother-in-law like that. I'm blessed with a wife like that and who values what I believe a godly mother should be. And she pursues that and she seeks that to do in her life. She does that. I think there's no greater service that a woman can give than to be a Christian first. I believe that's what the Scripture teaches. And to be a wife, if God sees that is her place to be. And to, if God so chooses, also, I think, to be a mother. And if you think about that, a woman that is a Christian, a woman that is a wife, a woman that is a mother, and I think part of what I want to talk about, or the reason I want to talk about some things this morning about that is, I believe that in our society today, those things, the world that we live in, I think those lines have been blurred a lot when it comes to the women of our society. You talk about being a wife today, a lot of people look down on that. What do you want to be a wife for? What's the wife do? A lot of women are discouraged from being a wife. They somehow look down upon that. And again, those lines are blurred. Sometimes they're just dismissed totally. Don't want to be a wife. That's not your first thought. All right? So but when you read Scripture and you look at the one that made us, and you look at the Creator that made us and gave us the role that He gave us, and you look at what God said, He says that is best. That's the best thing. It's not only best for the woman, but that's best for the man. You need to realize that. Many women and men in our world today, we've forgotten that. We've totally forgotten about the role and the responsibilities that God has given. I don't know that I ever thought that I would live in my lifetime or have to speak on an occasion like this, that it would be important to talk about the value of a woman. That it would be important to talk about being a woman or being a wife or being a mother. But I look around and really and truly, that's the case. That's the case in the culture that we live. And so on this nationally designated Mother's Day, I want us to think about this from a biblical perspective, a godly perspective. I'd like for all of us, especially you ladies, to remember the importance of your God-ordained and created role. There is a role that's been given to you by God, and just as important, and it's because it's of our day and age. I think these things need to be looked at. Proverbs 31 is where we're going to be. That's no surprise. I know that. But most of the Proverbs were written by Solomon. Chapter 30 was written by Agur. We don't know much about him. Chapter 31 was written by King Lemuel. And we don't know much about him. I'm glad that they wrote what they wrote, though, because the information that they give us here, we wouldn't understand these things otherwise. Now, I think that this day is going to be different for a lot of folks for a lot of different reasons. Your mother may or may not be alive today. And I know that alone will bring a certain amount of different emotions to different people. No doubt about that. Your mother may or may not have been the kind of godly mother that you longed for or wished she had have been. And that again, depending on the circumstance, that changes how you feel about today, too. We recognize that. You may not be a mother yet. You may be anticipating being a mother again. You may be doing that. And all those changes we recognize, all those different ranges of emotions I think we need to recognize. But whatever your emotions are, I want your heart to look at Proverbs 31 this morning and let it speak to you as in the value of these things, as in the value of being a wife, a mother, and being a woman. But briefly, I want chapter 3, I want to run by verse 13 before we get there. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom. Proverbs 3:13. And the man who gains understanding. Throughout the Proverbs, wisdom is re-referenced really in the feminine gender a lot of times. Verse 15, she is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares to her. I think some of the strongest language in the Bible is written in the first 9 chapters of Proverbs. As you look at that, what happens in that book is that wisdom is personified. And you look at it, and you get there, you get to reading about it, you get to reading about the wisdom that's there, and it's like, listen, you need this. You need to be able to understand what I'm talking about. Solomon just goes on and on and on. And then when you get to Proverbs 31, what happens, I think, is that there's a real-life application from what we've been reading up to this point. It's like, wait a minute, this is what he's talking about. And as I look at that, and it's made this man recognize that he has married a virtuous woman. Let's study look at verse 1. Proverbs 31 and verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him. What, O my son? And what, O son of my womb? And what, O son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women or your way to which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine or the rulers to desire strong drink, for they will drink and forget what is decreed and pervert the rights of the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing and wine to him who is life is bitter. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his trouble no more. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and the needy. As you look at this statement here, right off the bat, verse 1, what King Lemuel, what he sees is, really all of it, don't you forget what your mother told you. All right? Don't forget what your mother told you. You know, a lot of times when I'm by myself, a lot of times when I drive, I think about a lot of things. I'm sure like all of you do. To some degree, think about this past and how these things are. And something will hit me about what my mom said, and I think, pretty smart. Pretty smart. And it'll hit me, it'll dawn on me, and I think mothers, in particular, have a way of impressing upon us as their children those things in life that are valuable, the value of life, helping their children understand about and what life's all about. And what he does here, what he says, the first 9 verses particularly, I think the king is saying, listen, I'm the king, and I may be king, but you know what? What I needed to learn, you know what he says? My mom taught me. My mother told me the things that I need to learn. And I don't think he's discounting God when he talks about this. But look what, again, verse 2. What, my son? Oh, what, son of my womb? And what, son of my vow? The emphasis there is that from the mother's standpoint, what she's saying is, you need to listen to me. You need to listen to what I'm telling you. Basically, the first 9 verses, I think, that he points to 3 things overall that his mother here is telling him, you need to pay attention to these things. Now, the first thing I think he says, you need to avoid immorality. Immorality. You know, let me suggest to you this morning, if you're a young man, I want to suggest to you, especially, to listen to your mother. You need to listen to your mother as it relates to women. The sexual nature of men and women, quite different. Very different. And a man's and a woman's perspective, I think, is needed by both sons and daughters in this area, in reference to what the world says today, where all the lines are blurred. And what does it mean to be a young lady? What's it mean? What's it mean to be a young man? Who's teaching you that? Well, the ones that need to be teaching you that is your mother. It is your father. They need to be doing that. They need to be setting that example. We need to be talking about that. And we need to be discouraging our young people, our children, from maybe making a decision that would meet the approval of the world, but not at all what God says. I think the king understood that. And I think that's what the king is saying here. There's something my mother told me here that I need to pay attention to, that I need to listen to, especially when it relates to women. And let me say this, the word to teenagers, I don't want you to minimize young people and teenagers. Do not minimize the counsel of your dad and mom. Do not minimize what they're trying to tell you. Do not consider it outdated, old-fashioned, all of those things. Because if you have a godly parent and God bless you and you are the lucky one, if you do, what they're telling you is going to be told in a loving, in a caring way, because, number one, they have your best interest at heart. Every parent in here has their children's best interest at heart, always. And you know, it's interesting thing to me. I think back about Jimmy and our kids and the things that you remember over the years. I don't remember her one time telling our children something and me going, well, that's terrible. Don't do that. Don't tell them that. That'll make myself false. No. There was never a time that I heard her advise what she should tell her kids, and the reason was the whole time I know that she had their best interest. She wanted to help them. So for those of you that are younger in the audience, listen to your parents and listen to the wisdom of your grandparents. Consider what they're telling you. They tell you to do certain things, you do them. They tell you to avoid certain things, you avoid them. Seek their counsel, know their counsel, listen to that, don't discount that, don't minimize that, but take it for what it is. And I can tell you the strongest kind of advice will be coming from them. Then I think he's reminded that his mother says, you need to avoid alcohol. That's what he says here. I think there's a lot of things we can say about this, but let me say it's this way, it's really what the passage says. It's not a wise thing for the king to be involved in alcohol. And the point is, it distorts too many things. Her point is, and it's not wise for anyone to be involved in alcohol. Avoid it. Avoid it altogether. Let me say, there's no place for alcohol in the life of a Christian. There's just no place for alcohol in the life of a Christian. Now, I'm going to be talking about men again tonight, and alcohol is not going to be one of the topics, but I may go in that topic with some men things. But there are questions about alcohol. And I want to say that there's good questions about alcohol that I believe that needs answered, and we need to seek some good answers from the Scripture when we approach that subject as well as any other subject. But I think in terms of general principle, I think you need to do what the King's mother said to do. And she said that you need to avoid alcohol. Basic, serious. And then she would say you need to be passionate and merciful. Kind and caring. You know, you need to develop a heart of that. A heart for what? The poor and the needy. And I think personally that heart is developed when our kids are young. When you're young, that benevolent heart, that compassionate heart. Now, I think those are good thoughts. I think those are good motherly advice. And just those 3 points alone. But I want to read these verses coming up. And again, I'm not going to comment on every verse. But I want you to follow along with me as we read Proverbs, and beginning in verse 10. And as we read this, I want us to think about the advantages that you would have if you would heed these words. Notice what he says, verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night, gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers the field and buys it from her earnings. She plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. She stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow of her household, for all of her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known at the gate when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hand, and let her work praise her. He says at the gate. There's a lot there. But what that is, I think that's a picture. I believe that what the king, that's a picture of the king who understands this kind of woman, this kind of wife, this kind of mother. This is what God expects. This is a picture of what people, I believe the king is saying, this is what they need to be. And what a woman needs to be in reference to all the relationships that she sustains in her life. Let's notice just a few of those things about what a godly mother is. Now, this is one of those lessons. You know, if it was entitled Godly Father, I would say, you know, I'm going to preach this, but I'm not going to lie. I think this, as well as all Scripture, what it does for us, all of us, it makes us reevaluate our life. It makes us examine our life. It makes us parallel. Hey, wait a minute, am I doing this or not doing this? Where do I need to make changes? What do I need to do? But it makes an honest evaluation. We need to make that honest evaluation constantly in our life. And again, we're not going to go down through each verse. But I want to look at some main ideas that the writer has here. First of all, a godly mother is trustworthy. The New King James says it this way. Her husband faithfully trusts in her. Well, I think there's a relationship. There's an understanding that the husband and wife have. That the husband can trust his wife and know that he is willing to be able to do that, to put his trust in her, and she's always trustworthy. And what a great characteristic of a mother. Mom's always there. As a wife, she's always there. Trusted to be there, trusted to be trustworthy. Also, diligent, he says. He sees, what's he say? He sees and willingly works. He's up early. He provides for her household. What do you think about the magnitude of that phrase? He provides for her household. He provides for her household. Just think about that. I have no real idea about this, being a man and hard-headed. But I've been the beneficiary of my mom, my wife, my mother-in-law, that knows what this means, that they provide for their household. And I think all of us understand what that means. That's just an amazing responsibility. And in this text, the woman who's a godly woman, but she is, she's diligent to do that. She's diligent to provide for her household. Well, I'll tell you what I am. I'm very thankful for my mother, my mother-in-law, my wife, the women who are part of my life, that they did that. That they provided for their household. Those who are part of my household. I'll tell you, I'm thankful for that. Every day that they did that. I couldn't do that. That's not my, I don't have that ability. I thank God for those women that are in my life. Say she is perceptive. Verses 16 through 18. She's perceptive. I would say to you about this that I think most of us know what he's talking about there. You know what? A woman's intuition is amazing. No. They know, don't they? They know. They know what's going on in your life. They know what's going on in your children's life. They know what's going on in their life. They see things. They know things. They know the things that are around them. Very perceptive. And there's been a lot of occasions in my life. And I've got the world's greatest wife that's the most perceptive I know. That I've been thankful for that perception, that keen intuition that I don't have. But she does. But I know a lot of guys that wish they didn't have that perception. She's benevolent. She extends her hands to the poor. This passage says, she reaches her hands out to the needy. Verse 20, she is benevolent. I'm going to get back to that. Verse 21, she's courageous, it says. She's not afraid. She understands that is a part of her character and her responsibility. She's God-fearing, but let's switch gears to being afraid. Her household doesn't know she knows fear. That's not what's projected for her. She is in control. She's going to do the battle. She's there. That's a characteristic of a godly woman. She is not to be self-serving, verse 23. Well, when I think about self-serving, what is that? It's the idea that she's not about herself. The godly woman is not about herself. Of all the things that I can say about the mother of my children, among those things, besides all the things wherein she is spiritually minded, and we can talk all about that, but I can say this, and I have absolutely no qualms to say this about Jenny, she's not about herself. She's not about herself. Her life, really and truly, is not her own. When I think about what she does, she's not self-serving. And aren't godly women like that? When you think about what it means to be a godly woman, there are so many godly women in this audience. There is. And you are godly in part because of that. Because you're not self-serving. Because you don't put yourself first. You're unselfish about your life. And I think, practically speaking, that you have to be that way. Because if you were not that way, I don't know how you could do everything else here. I don't know how you could be diligent. I don't know how you could be perceptive. I don't know how you could be courageous. I don't know how you could fill in all these blanks if you were self-serving. If you put yourself first. You can't accomplish those other things if you're thinking about yourself. The passage says the godly woman is not self-serving. Verse 25, the same passage there, it says, she shall rejoice in time to come. You know, I go down to the North Carolina highway, and I go down there, and I just don't get it sometimes. And really, I trash the place. I do a lot of stuff, but the place looks really bad, so I leave it again. I got stuff everywhere, and the kids are there, in and out, and you know, I look at her sometimes, I think, how do you do that? How do you go to bed at midnight, 1 or 2, get up at 5 or 6? I think it's that stuff she drinks at Walmart. I don't know. But she does it. She does it. And it's focus time. Everything's focused. the agenda's out there, because after I leave, and she crashes for about a week, I know, but I'll have time for myself when this is done. My time will come, and when I get what I need to get done through all this, my time will come. And all of that says not self-serving. That's what that means. They are strong and optimistic. I'll say a godly woman is remarkably strong and remarkably unyieldingly optimistic. You know, what a great characteristic to have someone in your house say, you can do this. You're going to have difficulty, but I know I have confidence and faith and trust in you. You can do this. You're going to be able to make this. You're going to be able to take care of this. All of those things. A woman that's filled with optimism. What a godly woman to have in the house. And I think the next point really has nothing to do with that. They're edifying in their speech. That's part of that. The King tells us there's wisdom and kindness is over their tongue. That's the way they are. Verse 27, she washes over the ways of her household. Again, I don't know what that means. I can't imagine what all that entails. And there's no specific point there to know exactly what it means. But part of that says that she doesn't eat the bread of idols. And I look at that, a godly woman who's fulfilling her obligation, her godly role, again, she doesn't have time for idols. She doesn't have time. There's no downtime because she's serving in all of these ways that the scriptures say are godly. So if you're watching over your household, I can promise you that as a godly, you're not idle. You won't be idle. And I think that's what this passage is telling us. Verse 28, your children and your husband are the beneficiaries and should be thankful. They should be praising you. Think about that. Now I want to ask the teenager, and the young adults in this auditorium right now, you hug your mom's neck today and tell her how much you love her? Did you? If you didn't, you better. And you need to today. Sometimes that's hard. Sometimes mothers don't get the praise they deserve. That's not headlines, is it, Mom? The self-esteem, I want to tell all of you, doesn't come from the workplace. No. No, it doesn't come from other places. It needs to come from the primary import of their life, and that's their family. And that's you. As children and as husbands. That's where that needs to come from. But I think that a godly mother should be praised by her husband, should be praised by her children. And you know what? That's hard. That's been a hard lesson for me to learn. And I think it's been a hard lesson for my children to learn. But we need to learn that. Because they deserve all the praise. All the praise. Verse 30 says that charm is deceitful and beauty is passive. But the woman who fears God shall be praised. Now, I realize there's an age range here. We got little girls and we got older ladies as well here. But I just want to say that what the Bible teaches, it cannot be any better thing for us. It cannot be any better thing for a woman than to be a godly woman. Just like a man. There can't be anything better for a man except to be a godly man, a man after God's heart. And there are roles and there are responsibilities that our Creator, God, has given a woman to execute. And to be the kind of person that God wants you to be, you need to execute those. You need to go after those. And the same is true about men. We're going to talk about men tonight. But I believe with all of my heart that the woman who seeks that path, that God wants the woman to see, and as she moves into the twilight years of her life, that she can look back, and that she can honestly say that what God has done through me, and what God has done for me, and really to the best of my ability and all of my ability, that I've done what God wants me to do. Women can accomplish so many things. And this is not about what they can accomplish. And or what they should accomplish. That's not to say anything about that this morning. But what I'm saying is, your number one priority, your number one goal as a woman, your main goal in life is to be the kind of godly woman simply that God wants you to be. And you look at this text, and if you do that, the influence that you will have in your life is what God wants you to have. And I think, really, it's the influence that you want to have. Such a great text to a great woman, Proverbs 31. This morning, let me just say that if you are the kind of woman that we talked about this morning, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for doing what you do. Thank you for being what you are. Thank you for all that you do. Every godly woman here, thank you. And thank you most of all for being the kind of woman that God wants you to be. And I hope this lesson has been meaningful. Please get us on and look out. You have a spiritual need this morning. We would certainly love to help you in that. We would certainly love to help you become a Christian this morning. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's the gospel of Christ. You can be immersed in water today for the forgiveness of your sins. If there is something between you and the cross, your sin in the public way, we know that you're unfaithful, and you want to make that right. We'll pray with you. God will forgive you. We will too. Please come. Let's go to the standing place.